From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. The United States is the most dangerous place in the developed world to give birth, and the mothers most at risk are African Americans. This afternoon, Johns Hopkins is convening a dozen experts for ideas that could change that picture. The symposium also honors Shalon Irving, a Black alumna who worked to eliminate health disparities. And still, 3 weeks after she gave birth, high blood pressure took her life. OBGYN Dr. Reagan McDonald Mosley sees her friend's death as a call for change.
To invest more in better hospital systems that serve Black women, to trust Black women when they tell you that they're having a problem, and for the medical system itself to face the institutional racism that is contributing to these health inequities that we're seeing and hearing about time after time.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Shalon Irving understood the situation better than most people. An epidemiologist at the Centers for Disease Control, she'd earned a double PhD in sociology and gerontology, plus two masters, one of them in public health from Johns Hopkins. She had focused her work on understanding disparities in healthcare, or as her Twitter bio declared, "I see inequity wherever it exists, call it by name, and work to eliminate it." She was a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps. And yet, 3 weeks after Shalon Irving gave birth 2 years ago, she collapsed unconscious from high blood pressure. A week later, she was taken off life support. She became an emblem of the awful statistic the CDC has documented, that Black mothers in the U.S. die of childbirth-related causes at 3 to 4 times the rate of white mothers. Wanda Irving, Shalon's mother and best friend, who is raising her granddaughter, Soleil, told a gathering of public health workers last June that she is haunted by questions about her daughter's death.
Shalon was a 36-year-old woman of color who went to her health care worker again and again in distress and was dismissed. Her concerns and symptoms went unheard, unaddressed, and untreated. Just another Black woman failed by the healthcare system. Shalon deserved better. Shalon's death has been called shameful, sad, senseless, tragic. One thing is certain in my mind, it was definitely a tragedy, a shameful, sad, senseless, and preventable tragedy. How could it have happened? It should not have happened.
Wanda Irving and a dozen other experts will speak this afternoon at a symposium the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health has organized to honor Shalon Irving and to explore how to change the statistics. Another speaker, a close friend of Irving's, is Dr. Reagan McDonald Mosley, Chief Medical Officer of Planned Parenthood of Maryland. She joins us by phone. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for highlighting this important issue.
You met Shalon Irving when you were both at Johns Hopkins as students?
We did. We met during orientation in May, almost 11 years ago, and immediately locked eyes on each other and became friends. We also happened to have been living 2 doors down from each other, and so we would walk to school every day together and became fast friends, and spent the year struggling through biostatistics and also trying to figure out what we wanted to do with our lives and the impact that we wanted to make in the public health sphere.
Was she excited when she learned she was pregnant?
She was thrilled. Shalon had worked very hard to be pregnant and was super excited to have her daughter. And I couldn't have been more excited for her.
Did she expect a complicated pregnancy?
She did have some medical issues, including hypertension, but her pregnancy actually went off very well without any major issues. The issues began after her pregnancy when her blood pressure started to increase. And she also had a wound infection from her C-section scar.
She was 36, in her mid-30s. Is that a dangerous age to be pregnant if you're African American?
Well, I think the important issue is not so much the age, but the statistics are showing that women at any age and with any income and any poverty level If they are black in this country, they are at a higher risk for maternal mortality and morbidity. And I think Shalon's case is a particularly egregious example of this, in part because of the work that Shalon did. She was a huge advocate for health equity issues, in part because she was so educated and had so many resources. Unfortunately, I think it's also very telling that if this could happen to Shalon, with the amount of resources and knowledge and education that she had, that really this could happen to anyone in our country. And so it highlights the need to invest more in women's health issues, to invest more in better hospital systems that serve black women, to trust black women when they tell you that they're having a problem, that the medical system needs to recognize that, and for the medical system itself to face the institutional racism that is contributing to these health inequities that we're seeing and hearing about time after time.
As you said, Shalon and presumably her healthcare providers managed her pregnancy pretty well. It was after Soleil was born in a C-section on January 3rd, 2017, that the real problems emerged. What happened?
Correct. I mean, out of respect for the family, I don't want to get into too many details about her case. But as you mentioned, she did have elevated blood pressure after her pregnancy that was lifted up by nurses that were coming to her house to change her wound. And was, you know, elevated up to the level of her physician, and it just wasn't addressed adequately. And unfortunately, Shalon suffered the consequences, and now Soleil is living without her mother.
Do you think her healthcare providers took her complaints seriously?
You know, I cannot put myself into the shoes of the healthcare providers, because I don't know what they were thinking or doing at that time. But, you know, it does appear that, you know, over the course of weeks that sort of Shalon kept complaining and that there were nurses who were identifying that her blood pressure was elevated and that there was not significant action taken on that. So, you know, I think it's hindsight is 20/20, but I think what is important to note here is that this is one case, right? This is Shalon's case, an absolutely preventable case and should have been addressed differently, but this is one of many, unfortunately. And so I think to highlight only what happened in her case is not to sort of look at the systemic issues that are leading to these outcomes, not only for Shalon and for Miss Wanda and for Soleil and Shalon's family, but for, you know, many, many other women of color who are dying needlessly in this country.
That's Dr. Regan McDonald Mosley, an OBGYN who's Chief Medical Officer of Planned Parenthood of Maryland. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the legacy of her friend Shalon Irving, which will be honored at a symposium this afternoon. You spoke with ProPublica, the investigative news site that did an in-depth piece about Shalon Irving and the broader problem. And they talked about the issue of chronic stress on African-American women.
Yes, yes, yes.
They said that might be the most pernicious part of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's twofold. So I spoke a bit about, you know, systemic racism that is built into the healthcare system itself, not trusting when black women say that there's an issue or not trusting their symptoms or not treating them the same way that perhaps they would treat other women, particularly white women. And that is a very real thing and has been well described and documented in different contexts. And that there is this other element, right, of stress or allostatic load that sort of speaks of just the chronic inflammation and chronic destruction and damage that can be done by living at a high stress state with the high levels of hormones like cortisol in your body. And this is exacerbated by being a person of color and navigating the world just dealing with racism in other contexts, even outside of the healthcare system, moving through the world and being concerned about interacting with people who want to hurt your body or do not respect your body, right? Those things cause you to have an elevated cortisol level, that constant level of concern and worry, and that can have chronic health issues related with it, not just related to maternal health issues, but also heart health issues and mental health issues, et cetera.
You told ProPublica that Shalon Irving's death, quote, tells you can't educate your way out of this problem. You can't healthcare access your way out of this problem. There is something inherently wrong with a system that's not valuing the lives of black women equally to white women.
Right.
Close quote. Do you see that changing?
I hope so. And I think that's, you know, Sheila, why I think it's important not to just focus on, you know, Shalon and the sort of high-risk states that may have contributed to this, but the overall healthcare system, right? Because even if someone is perfectly healthy and at a young age, you know, the statistics are showing that even if you have access to health insurance and have a higher income, that you're not immune to this inequity that's leading to higher rates of maternal mortality and morbidity for Black women. So I am hopeful, but I think it's really going to take events like we're having at today at Johns Hopkins to sort of highlight the importance of this issue, and it's really going to take for the healthcare system itself to face the levels of institutional racism that are contributing to inequity. It's easier, right, for people to sort of point to, oh, that person is obese, or that person has hypertension, or that person doesn't have health insurance, and to blame those issues. It's easier to do that than really to turn that foci internally and for the medical system itself to fix itself.
I really appreciate your talking to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you again for highlighting this important issue. I really appreciate it.
Dr. Regan McDonald-Mosley, an OBGYN, Chief Medical Officer of Planned Parenthood of Maryland, and a friend of the late Shalon Irving. She'll be speaking this afternoon at a seminar at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health honoring Shalon Irving. It's titled The Fierce Legacy of Now. After a short break, we'll speak with two scientists who worked on organizing the gathering about what they hope will come from it. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on The Record.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the shocking disparity in the U.S. between the risk of being pregnant while white and pregnant while Black. It's not easy for anyone, but African-American women are 3 to 4 times as likely to die from childbirth-related causes. What could change that picture? That's the challenge of a symposium this afternoon at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health titled The Fierce Urgency of Now. Speakers will share the legacy of CDC epidemiologist Shalon Irving, who died 3 weeks after giving birth, and they'll explore how to set an agenda to make African-American mothers safer. Two of the symposium organizers are with me. Dr. Michelle Ogunole, a primary care internal medicine physician at Johns Hopkins, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Tangela Purnell, Ph.D., Associate Director for Education in Johns Hopkins Center for Health Equity, as well as Assistant Professor of Surgery, Epidemiology, and Health Behavior. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Tangela Purnell, let me start with you, because your specialty is not obstetrics, it's kidney transplant. So why have you been so involved in this symposium?
I will say that the most important reason is because, like many other conditions related to health disparities, for example, chronic kidney disease, diabetes, hypertension, we find that the disparities in maternal mortality all have multi-level factors. So multiple things are all happening all at the same time and all going wrong. So a lot of times we focus on the individual patient level and we focus on targeting things that we can change about the patient. But at the same time, there are things going wrong at the healthcare system level and also at the policy level and at the community level. And so just like with any other condition where there are striking disparities, this was a condition where we found that having a multi-level approach to promoting health equity was basically the same thing. The same barriers, the same factors that are driving these disparities are the exact same ones that we target for kidney disease and for any other chronic condition.
Now, Dr. Ogunole, your research does focus on African-American maternal health, right?
That's right.
So why is this symposium important to you?
Well, first of all, I will say that I'm also not an obstetrician or gynecologist. I'm a primary care provider, and sometimes people wonder what my role in this problem is. So I think one of the important things to think about, or why I started looking into this problem, is because one of the biggest things is that there's an increasing rise of chronic disease for African-American women and the population in general. And so we've seen this as one of the big reasons for maternal mortality. And so we, as a primary care doctor, I think about how do I make women healthier before pregnancy and improve chronic disease then to make them healthier for their pregnancies. And then in this postpartum period, which we'll talk more about, which is a very vulnerable period for women, who do they see at that time? Because at some point they leave their obstetricians and gynecologists. And as they have these chronic diseases, there really is a role for people who manage those things. And so that's one of the reasons why I was interested in impacting this problem in another way.
So one of the presentations at the symposium this afternoon, the director of the National Institutes of Health Office of Research on Women's Health, Dr. Janine Austin Clayton, is scheduled to talk about promising research. What is promising?
So we're very excited to have Dr. Clayton here, who's also an alum of our university. Some of the things that we hope that she will cover will include thinking about how do we address these multi-level factors that are driving health disparities. So, for example, what are some of the research proposals and funding opportunities that specifically target the disparities in maternal health and maternal mortality? For a very long time, we know that historically, women's health research has been underfunded in general, and in particular, that focusing on the disparity in women's health is also an area that has been underfunded. And so she's going to talk to us about what some of the new and promising roles will be or research investigators and clinicians who want to target some of the healthcare system factors, some of the patient level factors, including patient physician communication, including things such as implicit bias and the role of racism within the healthcare system, thinking about transitions of care and coordinated care. For example, thinking about how we can build better teams and relationships between primary care physicians and specialists. So these are all examples of things that we know have historically been things that we target in other areas of research. And we now are very excited about the emphasis that is being placed on this particular area in order to improve maternal mortality.
That's Tangela Purnell of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Equity here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is internal medicine and primary care physician Dr. Michelle Ogunwole about ideas that reduce health risks to African-American mothers. You're scheduled to hear from newly elected Congresswoman Lauren Underwood. She's a graduate of Johns Hopkins School of Nursing, as well as the health policy advisor to Congresswoman Robin Kelly. They're both Illinois Democrats. What is promising on the legislative front?
So I think the most exciting thing is that most of these, the people who have been involved in policy, have taken a lot of time to really look at this issue really deeply and think about the way that policy can actually affect this problem. Particularly, some of the legislation that's been put forward actually calls out some of these things like racism, racial discrimination, implicit bias, some of these things that Dr. Purnell was talking about. And so we haven't always seen that in our legislation, in the bills, it being called out so clearly and saying, what do we actually need to do to address that? And so some of the things that have been present in the bills include, how do we train the next generation of physicians and healthcare professionals to actually speak to women in a respectful manner, give them dignity, and how do we reduce the biases that these students may have when they come into contact with women? And some of that starts with education. So there's legislation around how do we actually implement that in the medical school curriculum. The other part I think that is really important has to do with the postpartum period and access to care. So one of the big issues is that women who are on Medicaid, for example, typically lose coverage 60 days after delivery. And what we know...
In other words, their pregnancy is the reason they're on Medicaid.
Right. So they have access to coverage during their pregnancies.
And then they lose it.
And then they lose it 60 days after delivery. And unfortunately, what we know now is, especially in developed countries like the United States, women tend to actually have increased morbidity and mortality up to a year after delivery. So the idea that women don't have access to care in that time period is really concerning. And so some of the legislation is also about addressing that problem, that lack of access to care. So I think that that's also really important that has been placed in some of the bills that are coming forward.
Is any of the focus on changes at the Maryland state level?
Yeah, so there are some bills that we'll discuss as well pertaining to data collection, for example. So I will link it to the federal level as well. There's a bill that was previously a bill, but now that's passed into law, that has to do with federal funds being allocated to improve the collection of data around maternal mortality.
That sounds really dry. Tell me why that's important.
So it's important because data drives improvement. So how do we know what to fix if we don't actually have the accurate numbers? So right now, the system is that states can collect data on maternal deaths and they can report it to the CDC, but they're really there's no accountability for that, and they really don't have funding, secured funding to do that. And so, as you know, we spend money on the things that we care about and the things that matter. And so without that funding, it's really hard to consistently capture great data. And so as a researcher, of course, it's difficult for me to understand what the problem is and how the problem's improving if we don't have any data specifically on what the problem is. What is the problem in Texas? Because it might be different than the problem here in Maryland. And California is doing a really great job. But why is that? How can I understand that better if I don't have accurate data? And so it actually really, really is important to make sure that we have accurate data. And then what Maryland is doing is saying, but we really need it at the state level too, at the city level even. The more accurate we can get, the better.
And speaking of the city, initiatives in Baltimore to promote maternal health, Baltimore City Health Department, Baltimore Community Doula Program, Baltimore Healthy Start. What will this add to the conversation this afternoon?
So one very important piece that these particular speakers will add to this puzzle is, what is the role of those who are not clinicians? What is the role of our communities in helping to ensure safe pregnancies and after pregnancy and postpartum care for women? And so we are very excited to hear about these new and emerging programs that historically have really focused a lot on the health of the child, a lot on the health of the baby. And so we'll hear a lot about why it's important to see women as more than just carers of babies. These are also human beings who are important and whose lives are important and that we have an obligation to protect. And so we are going to hear a lot about what the new programs are at the community and city level. And also we hope to get the audience excited about ways that they can also support these programs so that we can really drive change.
As you know, this is an issue that's getting national attention, which is fantastic. I think a lot of times people focus on the problem, and it's really important that people understand that this is a serious, urgent problem. Hence the title of our symposium. But at the same time, we wanted to bring attention to the fact that there are organizations that are really thinking about what to do. So now it's time to start thinking about solutions. And so the panel comes at the end because we want people to also leave with a sense of hope, right? That there are things that can be done.
Well, let me pick up exactly on that and ask either of you. The statistics, and I take your point that perhaps the statistics aren't as good as they could be, but the statistics about maternal health in the United States, and particularly the health of African American mothers, have been getting worse. Is there some reason that you pick up to feel that things could change, that the direction could change?
Part of the thing that we hope to discuss in this symposium is specifically what types of programs need to be tailored to address the disparity so that it won't continue to get worse. We know that, again, from other fields, some of this entails taking a multi-stakeholder approach. So, for example, we cannot only focus on just what's happening within the clinical encounter. We also have to focus on how we can address these things from the policy side, from the community side, from the family level, and just really taking a multi-stakeholder approach and bringing everyone to the table so that we can do a better job of addressing this.
And I will also add that in addition to those things, I think that it's really, really important in terms of health disparities and being able to say, especially to the Black woman, that you're valid and that I trust your experiences and I trust what you say about your body. And so I feel really strongly, and this is true in my research too, that you can't understand these problems without actually going to the source and understanding what has been your experience in the healthcare system. What is the experiences of your life that are shaping your health trajectory and shaping your ability to get care, to do well after pregnancy and delivery. And so if we don't center those stories of these women, then it's going to be impossible to build interventions that it can actually help them and address their specific needs.
Thank you both. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Professor Tangela Purnell of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Equity and Dr. Michelle Ogunwole, a primary care and internal medicine physician, are among the organizers of a symposium this afternoon titled The Fierce Urgency of Now, honoring the legacy of Dr. Shalon M. Irving and advancing the agenda to eliminate racial disparities in maternal health. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we've got information about the symposium, how to register if you want to attend, and where you can stream it if you want to watch. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.